There is a chance, maybe more than just a chance, that the people of Dallas, Texas got the opportunity to experience a kind of emotional closure from all of the 50-year commemorations of the Kennedy assassination. What you are listening to is a part of all that. The Brentano String Quartet performing in Dallas over the weekend the piece One Red Rose by composer Stephen Mackey.
That was cool. Okay. I really heard all those phases. And it had a real narrative to it. Let's do that.
The creation of this piece of music was a complicated journey for the composer and the performers, and we got to come along. At a rehearsal earlier this month, Mackey and the quartet shared their artistic vision and their own emotional experience of an event most of them were not alive for. On their way to Dallas, they had performed the piece for audiences in New York and New Jersey.
One of the things that's wonderful about this piece is that it does address this issue directly of what happened 50 years ago.
We play mostly for an older audience. That's just how chamber music is. And so a huge percent of our audience at any given concert did live the event. And in fact, many of them were even adults already at that point.
On more than one occasion, there are people that have come up to us and that said, thank you so much. And there are so many things that happened on that day, and something about the music really bring it all back.
I know a lot of people who have very strong memories of that day, and I feel like I can relate now. That's what studying history does, I think, connects us to outside ourselves, to our past.
Brentano String Quartet members Nina Lee, Misha Amory, Serena Cannon, and Mark Steinberg. But it was the upcoming experience of performing in the place where President Kennedy was killed that composer Stephen Mackey was most anticipating, an event he prepared for like a historian as much as a musician.
What's going on in that really dissonant section you were rehearsing with some effort there? What's the image, the sense of chaos, I suppose.
The ugliness of it. The ugliness stopped me, actually, at one point. I made the mistake of watching the Zapruder home movie, and I was paralyzed for weeks after that. I thought, you know, oh, this is horrific. I mean, you see depictions of it, even, you know, Hollywood movie depictions, and you read about it, and there's something about the actual home movie of the actual event of a bullet piercing the president's skull that, instead of inspiring me, scarred my imagination instead of stimulating my imagination. And I didn't work for weeks. And then as I came back, I thought, okay, I want to have some of the ugliness, but I am going to make it a more generalized chaos. You've got several frantic threads happening at once. You've got the manhunt for Oswald. You've got the president rushing to the hospital. You've got the press in an era before, you know, Wi-Fi and cell phones getting to, you know, the story to where they had to be. You have the, you know, police station itself. And so I'm thinking of all of those things, but I'm also thinking of just the ugliness of a human being firing a gun at another human being's head.
Why One Red Rose?
When the president was delivered to Parkland Hospital, the Secret Service examined the limo, and all they saw on the floorboard there was one blood-soaked red rose.
Do you have a thought process, something that's swirling around in you as the piece ends in that powerful harmony, that everything sort of held up by that powerful cello theme that's going on? What's going on inside of you as you're writing it, as you're hearing it?
I was thinking positive thoughts, to be simplistic about it. I was thinking of uplift. I was thinking of, you know, pulling together. In my personal connection to it was, you know, I was thinking about my parents who were really attached to Camelot and the Kennedys.
And where were you 50 years ago?
I was home sick in Marysville, California. Had the flu that day, so I got to stay home from school, and I was watching cartoons, and the news flash came in. Immediately, I heard the neighbor lady, Mrs. Tui, run into our house and shout the news to my mother, and then I heard my mom and Mrs. Tui break down sobbing.
Do you think people individually moved on from the Kennedy assassination? And that's kind of what happened? Or did America collectively move on? I sometimes don't know if it was both or if it was just one.
I put all my eggs generally into the individuals. I mean, I think, you know, in terms of change, you know, even political change, things change because individuals change, and important individuals change, and enough individuals change. I don't think the country can move on unless all the individuals move on, and I think that's debatable whether that's happened.
How much Dallas is in this? How much of Dallas's own community interest in commemorating this is a part of this art here?
I did a lot of research. I really put myself into this and really tried to connect with the specifics of that event.
You went to the book depository.
I did go to the book depository, yeah.
You went to Parkland Hospital.
I did go to Parkland Hospital, yeah. Watched old newsreels. It's, you know, and I'm not trying to depict those. What I'm saying is that I was thinking of, you know, the cocking of a gun, you know, and the clank of a shell on the floor of that sixth floor depository as a rhythmic event, you know, pulling away just the acceleration away from the grassy knoll.
I mean, the people of Dallas are unique in this, in the sense that they carry a great burden of shame and a sense that America blamed Dallas on that day, that you will be a part of possibly liberating them from. It would be different for that audience than almost any other audience. Mm.
The main theme is this public performance of grief versus the, you know, the private experience of tragedy and grief. That gets me out of being a historian. When I think of Dallas, I still have ringing in my head the excitement that Jackie and JFK had waking up on a sunny morning. It turns out, you know, the rain stopped, it was sunny, they could go with the top down. The streets were lined with people cheering, and Jackie, you know, leans into JFK and says, you know, "See, Jack, they love you in Texas." Texas showed up and, you know, celebrated him, and is this, you know, this one guy in the sixth floor, it's just this one, you know, kind of lunatic. It has nothing to do with Dallas in that sense.
As we were there in that New York apartment listening, after a while, the music began to convey to us an emotional depth from an event 50 years ago, coming through in the deep notes of Nina Lee's cello. The Brentano Quartet performing Stephen Mackey's One Red Rose on Saturday night at Dallas's City Performance Hall. Thanks to our friends at KERA 90.1 Dallas for the recording of Saturday's concert. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.